It's Derek here from Bomb Socks, and welcome to the Bomb Bites podcast. Hey, if you're new to Bomb Bites, it's a service from our company Bomb Socks to help be a resource to you as you're studying along with the Come Follow Me curriculum for the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Hope you enjoy today's episode. So yesterday I got you into Jacob chapter 1, where we talked about how Jacob was very anxious about a message that he needed to share with people, but he magnified his office and exercised some faith in Jesus Christ, which you see in chapter 2. Here's where he gets into the message. Verse 2, "Now, my beloved brethren," which I think that's so cool because as you look at the different Book of Mormon writers, you get to see their writing style. Jacob is a very gifted writer. He always refers to the Nephites as "my beloved brethren." He uses that phrase a lot. You saw it back in 2 Nephi when he was talking about some of the things that Nephi wanted him to share. You see how Jacob loves these people, and I think that is awesome, which is probably why this is such a difficult message for him to get. He loves these people, but he wants to see them change. "My beloved brethren, I, Jacob, according to the responsibility which I am under to God, to magnify," there's that word that we finished chapter 1 with yesterday, "magnify mine office," or to stretch it, "with soberness, that I might rid my garments of your sins. I have come up unto the temple this day," which I love that he's at the temple, "that I might declare unto you the word of God." Now look at some of the words that Jacob uses in the next few verses. Verse number 3, "Ye yourselves know that I have hitherto been diligent in the office of my calling, but I this day am weighed down with much more desire and anxiety," there's that word again, "for the welfare of your souls than I have hitherto been." Jacob loves these people. He's just like, look, I want you guys to be able to be happy. I want you to experience joy. I want you to be able to feel the Spirit. I want you to grow in your connection to Jesus Christ, but I've got to share this message with you. "Behold, hearken ye unto me and know that by the help of the all-powerful creator of heaven and earth, I can tell you concerning your thoughts, how that you are beginning to labor in sin, which sin appeareth very abominable unto me, yea, abominable unto God." That's a fun word, right? Abominable means very bad, unpleasant, or detestable, okay? These guys are doing some bad stuff. "Yea," verse 6, "it grieveth my soul, causeth me to shrink with shame before the presence of my Maker, that I must testify unto you concerning the wickedness of your hearts." And over the next couple of verses, look at some of the words he uses here. "It grieveth me," down in verse number 7. He's like, I've got to talk to you in front of your wives and children whose feelings are tender and chaste. I've got to open up some wounds here that I don't want to do, but I want you guys to be able to change. Verse number 9, "it burdeneth my soul that I should have to be constrained because of the strict commandment which I have received from God to admonish you concerning your crimes, to enlarge the wounds of those who are already wounded instead of consoling and healing their wounds." There's a lot of people that came to this Nephite General Conference to be able to hear consoling words, and sadly, I've got to talk to you guys about things that you're doing that are wrong. I wonder how many times our prophets and apostles are that way, to where it's like, I want to share with you just the pleasing good word of God, but instead, because of the things that you're doing, I've got to give this message. I can see how that would create a little bit of anxiety for a good prophet of God. Now, verse number 10, "but notwithstanding the greatness of the task, I must do according to the strict commands of God." I love that. I think Jacob learned some things from his older brother Nephi that way. It's like, look, I must go and do. I will go and do the things which the Lord hath commanded. Here's Jacob saying the same thing. "And tell you concerning your wickedness and abominations in the presence of the pure in heart and the broken heart under the glance of the piercing eye of the Almighty God." So what are the Nephites doing that is so abominable, meaning very bad, unpleasant, and detestable, that is causing the prophet Jacob much anxiety? Well, back in the day, President Ezra Taft Benson, many of you may remember President Benson, gave a wonderful talk called Beware of Pride. In fact, he called pride the universal sin. Fun fact about this talk, President Benson actually didn't even give this talk. This talk was given by his counselor, Gordon B. Hinckley, because President Benson's health was poor at the time. So Gordon B. Hinckley gave a wonderful talk that is attributed to President Benson, which he wrote, and I love this talk. Now you get into verse number 12. "Now behold, my brethren, this is the word which I declare unto you, that many of you have begun to search for gold and for silver and for all manner of precious ores, in the which this land, which is a land of promise unto you and to your seed, doth abound most plentifully." Verse 13 is one of the best definitions of pride, in my opinion. "And the hand of providence hath smiled upon you most pleasingly." Jacob's a great writer, "that you have obtained many riches. And because some of you have obtained more abundantly than that of your brethren, ye are lifted up in the pride of your hearts and wear stiff necks and high heads because of the costliness of your apparel. And you persecute your brethren because you suppose that you are better better than they. Now, having riches and things like that, there is nothing inherently wrong with that. It is when you are looking at other people with that negative mindset. Whenever I'm reading the Book of Mormon and I see the Nephites starting to get rich, I get nervous. I don't know about you guys, but you know, as we're reading the Book of Mormon, you see what is called the pride cycle. You see the Nephites start off, they're doing great. In fact, they're doing so great, they think they're better than others, which leads then to that destruction that takes place that comes because of pride. And then because of that, you see humility, and then you see the repentance, and then you see, because of the repentance, you see the prosperity that comes from that. And prosperity sometimes will lead to the pride. I wish the Nephites would just get stuck in what's called the blessings and the prosperity cycle, right? Because that way, if you can just keep in mind the blessings that come, the hand of providence has smiled most pleasingly upon these people, and there's nothing wrong with that, but it starts becoming a problem when they start looking down on other people. President Benson said that pride is the universal sin, and every single person struggles with it. Now, if you're watching this or listening to this, you're going like, oh, I am so grateful I don't have pride. Yeah, that's prideful. I think if you take a pulse, you have pride, and it's something we're going to struggle with our entire lives. Now, you go to verse number 20 and 21, which really describe pride as well. And now, my brethren, I have spoken unto you concerning pride, and those of you who have afflicted your neighbor and persecuted him because you were proud in your hearts of the things which God hath given you, what say ye of it? Do ye not suppose that such things are abominable unto him who created all flesh? And this phrase is so good. And the one being is as precious in his sight as the other, and all flesh is of the dust, and for the self same end he hath created them, that they should keep his commandments and glorify him forever. You know, pride is often the idea that we think ourselves better than someone else, and we're putting other people down. One of the less obvious ways that we struggle with pride is putting ourselves down. Either way, you're putting someone down, and Satan doesn't care which side of the pride fence you fall off on, as long as you just fall, whether it's putting someone else down or putting yourself down. It is still a form of pride. Now, President Benson said the antidote for pride is humility, which pride comes more naturally to us than humility. Humility takes effort. It requires that magnifying of ourselves and that faith to be able to do that. Look what President Benson says here. Let us choose to be humble. We can choose to humble ourselves by conquering enmity, which is hatred or opposition, towards our brothers and sisters, esteeming them as ourselves and lifting them as high or higher than we are. Receiving counsel and chastisement. We get to have that upcoming in General Conference here soon. Forgiving those who have offended us. And that's such a difficult thing, but we can do it. Rendering selfless service. Going on missions. Preaching the word that can humble others. Getting to the temple more frequently, confessing and forsaking our sins and being born of God, loving God, submitting our will to Him, and putting Him first in our lives. And I love this phrase, let us choose to be humble. We can do it. I know we can. So I'm grateful for Jacob's message because it hits home with all of us. Any of us who struggle with pride, which is all of us, what a great message to help us learn how to become more humble and desire to become closer to Jesus Christ as we humble ourselves. If you'd like to check out our video that goes with today's podcast, you can find us on YouTube, Instagram, and Facebook by simply searching Bomb Socks. That's BOMSOCKS. And be sure to check out our amazingly comfortable gospel-themed socks at bombsocks.com. Thanks for listening, and hope you'll join us again for more episodes of Bomb Bites. Godspeed, and have a great day.